Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wiki Curiosity Media or its affiliates. Wiki Curiosity Media, changing the world you listen to.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Note by Note Radio Show. It is I, your host, the guy in glasses. With me broadcasting from his home studio out in California is my man. Shit.
It's your boy, Jesse Lives in the building. I picked up the audio. Hey, what's up, everybody? My boy, I think it went down to the trachea. Instead of his esophagus, it happened. But hey, we're in the building live on the Note by Note Radio Show. Act like you know. Don't act like you know, but be left out because you didn't know. Oh, that was cool. That was freestyle right there. But yeah,
I'm sorry. I didn't
I got
your name.
That's why there's two.
It just
no. I know.
Happened.
That's why there's. I heard you call, but I had your back. I had your back. That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
I'm
Jesus, thank you.
It's all good.
Thank
that's you. Why there's two of us. It's so, hey, that's what we do. That's what we do. You know what I mean? We don't fight fair around here. You will get jumped. It is real. That's how it goes.
I fucking love you, man.
Hey, it's facts, bro.
Be real.
You ask anybody about the south side of San Jose, man, you will get jumped if you want to. Yeah, we don't fight fair, bro. Sorry to tell you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Note by Note Radio Show. As my extremely talented co-host said, this is Note by Note. We are under the banner of Wicked Curiosity Media. Please go to that Facebook search bar, hit Note by Note Radio Show. Type it in, hit that like button, hit that share button, let people know what we're trying to do. When you get done with that, go over to the Wiki Curiosity Media page, like that page, follow that page, keep up to date with everything going on in the Wiki Curiosity Media world. Man, whew, okay, now we got that out of the way. Again, I apologize for the coughing. Just as soon as we came on air, it just kind of hit me that, I smoke cigarettes, so, you know, shit happens. I do apologize. But anyways, we have an absolutely incredible show for you tonight. It's a gentleman named Spaceman Jones, and I listened to his music this week, and I'll tell you, man knows what he's doing. Man knows what he's doing for sure. This is going to be an absolutely incredible show. If you don't know, now you know. This is, you know,
you better
yeah,
ask somebody,
is,
God damn it.
Yes, yeah, you better find out. We're going to back the fuck up where you get smacked the fuck up.
Big facts.
So listen.
Big facts. Yes.
No, this is going to be an awesome show. Do you want to do a little introduction there?
Oh, hell,
Jesse,
hell yeah.
And talk
this,
about him a little
this
bit.
Gentleman,
you know him better than I do.
This gentleman, ironically, this is probably one of the first cats that we're having on the show this season that I haven't got to meet or work with yet. Ironically, it's crazy because I don't remember how I met him. I just know we were connected through mutual friends. But since we were, here we go. I used to do this thing back in the day I need to actually start doing it again, where I would throw up certain hip-hop quotables and things like that. And if someone got it, I would actually send them a free shirt. And he was
okay.
He was one of the cats that actually responded one day and came to find out we had mutual friends in common. So from there on, I've been following him and just watching his page. And ironically, I've been learning things from his page because he drops gems on his page on a regular basis. So if you're not following Spaceman Jams, you could, because he's a very knowledgeable cat. And just I've appreciated that, you know, because I'm always the one trying to have something slick and motivational to say. And this cat motivates me by just the perspective that he comes from with giving information. So it's a dude that I ironically look up to for that, because I'm always attracted to people that I know are just fucking knowledgeable in what they're
right.
doing. I mean, I crave for that because I feel like that's how you get ahead in life.
Oh yeah.
By getting around people that know what the fuck they're talking about when they're talking about it. So
yeah, knowledge is definitely power for sure.
Definitely, and I feel like this is someone in our community that is, and it's not even, it's like, hey, if you didn't know, let me give you this. It's not like preachy, like I'm better than you. It's just like, have you ever thought about it this way? And I really appreciate and respect that, and that's very rare that I get to appreciate and respect somebody before I even get to meet them. So that's my take on Spaceman Jones. And outside of that, he's got some fucking cool, like, shit that he does. I can only call it cool. You call it corny, but the shit is cool. Like, his whole hustle is cool as fuck, right? But I'm going to let him tell you that when he gets on the air. Because it's a dope angle that you would think that it wouldn't be an angle, but it makes total fucking sense why it's a dope idea in what he does with his music and his business and all that.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Well, we've got a number on the line here, and, you know, this is I'm going to imagine that this is our artist of the week here. So I say we just go ahead and get into this, and we bring him on, you know.
Hey man, what's happening,
Space
everybody?
Man.
What's going on? What's
hey,
going
what's
on? Can you hear
on?
Me?
Going on?
Oh yeah.
All right, man. You know,
here,
you know, just chilling, getting ready to actually head over the mountain to Tennessee to do a show tonight. First time on stage this year, matter of fact.
We're
so,
at Tennessee.
So that's cool. In Johnson City, Tennessee, at a spot called The Hideaway. Show us start tonight. We're going to be in support of the homie Jake Dwyer. His band is putting out a tape. So we're going to go and open up to them. It's an alternative crowd. He usually does blues and like more folky stuff. So we get to rap to a whole crowd of people who may not be rap fans, which is always cool. You know, that's what I tell a lot of rappers. If you want to stand out, go to places where they don't play rap and get your shit on.
Man, that's crazy. You're
a bunch of rappers.
You're like an hour or so away from me. I'm in
Knoxville. Where are you at? Oh, you're in Knoxville?
Yeah.
Cool, man. I know some guys in Knoxville, man.
Man,
East
that's
Tennessee
man.
Cat, man. What?
Fuck, man. If I had known, man, I'd make arrangements or whatever, and
man, we're gonna come to Knoxville. Yeah, we're gonna come to Knoxville, bro. We already got
please.
It in the plan.
Please let me know when you do,
man. I got some.
I swear I'll be there.
Yeah, I got some homeboys in Knoxville that do music. Mr. Ill and Earl Gray over there at Brickyard, over there at the Brickyard. They be doing hip-hop shows over there and shit. Yeah,
yeah,
man.
Well, we should,
but
we
I appreciate
should,
y'all having me on, man.
We should definitely get together, man. You know, I don't have much of a pull with you know, the local, you know, scene here.
Oh, well, man.
So, you know, maybe we should... We should talk a little bit, you know, off air sometime, and you know, maybe I can get some local. I'd love to have some local guys on, you know, from you know my area.
Oh yeah,
you know
man, I know
and
a couple.
So,
I know a few of the guys over there in Knoxville. I know a couple of them. Yeah, I can
right
definitely.
On. Oh yeah, I mean, well, me, you, and Jenny, we should
look.
Talk sometime and.
Then you see
hey,
how it
hey,
works.
Spaceman's a good gentleman to know. He's a. And I'll say this much, because the friend that we have in common, he don't
my main man.
He doesn't consort with peons. See what I'm saying? I'm
right.
just trying to say that nicely. He only consorts with cats that are out here in the thick of it. So Spaceman Jones and I, and you know how I am about cosigns and shit. He's definitely somebody you want to connect with, because he's in the right crowd. If you're trying to figure out what space you need to be in, he's one of those gentlemen you want to have a rapport with.
Yeah, you need to be in Space
Would
Man.
Would you agree or disagree?
Yeah, especially in this area, man. It's definitely a lot of people out here and a lot of things to do. You know what I'm saying? And I know a few of those folks that's doing something, you know, and I share my resources freely. You know what I'm saying? It came to me free, so why I'm going to put somebody on the arm for it, you know?
Pay it forward. Big facts. Big facts.
That's right. Pay it forward.
So I gave a little intro on how I know you, but please tell our listeners who you are and
all right, man.
Why you're special.
I'm Spaceman Jones. I'm from Asheville, North Carolina. Been rapping for a long time, but just got serious about it in 2012. I was into street life before then and just doing a lot of bids and bullshit and fucking around with drugs and all the dumb shit in life. Was very fortunate to be able to have a conscious experience in prison. You know what I'm saying? They kind of woke me up and led me to, you know, wanting to have something different in life, you know? So since 2012, I've been very serious about making music. Made a few projects, you know, like a lot of local guys or guys who are not rapping with a contract. You know, we make enough money off of our record, the next record. You know what I'm saying? And we've been grinding like that for sure. And we've been fortunate enough to not have the pressure or so much thirst for fame that we kind of water ourselves down or do some dumb shit. I tried some dumb shit, but I didn't stick to it. You know what I'm saying? I was fortunate in that. So being a regular guy, man, who write raps, you know, I've been very fortunate to have people kind of tap in with me, and I always thought that it was better to put some good shit out in the world instead of bullshit, you know. So I just try to share what little insights that I catch while I'm going through my little daily battle. And if I catch one, I record it and put it on Instagram as a smoke break, you know. That's just kind of...
Smoke break.
Yeah, man, the smoke breaks, man. I definitely am a cannabis enthusiast. I just kind of use that to kind of be a segue into people's minds who might not be thinking, you know, on that level all the time, you know. But if you see, you know, a guy who's putting out a certain type of aura of trying to, you know, be truly cool, you know, and giving out some good information and smoking at the same time, it might catch somebody's attention that might have missed it otherwise, you know.
Hey, correct. I'll tell you,
and
there's
the smoke breaks.
Yeah, there's
ahead,
a lot of I was just gonna say there's a lot of you know, inventions and music and art and everything like that that you know, we probably, you know, wouldn't have, you know, had it not been for people who partake in the herbal substances, you know. So
yeah, man. Yeah, man.
I appreciate the smoke breaks because it's some of the most insightful shit that I've heard from another MC in a while, and I really need that because sometimes I feel like I might be crazy in some of the shit that I think and some of the perspectives I have. So, like, you've been a big help to me in a lot of ways. It's like, oh, wait a minute, somebody else saying exactly what I'm saying. Okay, maybe I'm okay. I'm not tripping. Everybody,
yeah,
else
I'm not crazy.
I'm not the
for
only
sure,
one.
Man. For sure, man. I just try to, like, put it out there in a way that made sense to me, you know. And all of the smoke breaks are intensely personal. It's usually some insight that I get after fighting with a personal struggle. You know what I'm saying? It's always something that come after the battle. You know what I'm saying? The clarity that come after the battle. You know, whether win or lose, you're going to learn something in that clarity after the battle. And so when I'm able to kind of crystallize that and make it into a form, like bring it into a thought that I can express or share, because it don't always come in ways that you can share. Sometimes it's just like an inward knowing. You can't really explain why you feel that motherfucking way. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
So for me, whenever I can explain it, I try to record it. I try to you know, hop on there and do a smoke break, you know, something that's real pertinent to my life. And I know if it's important to me, the law of averages is going to say that it might be important to a couple other people too, man.
Very true. So I'm just saying, as a fan, please keep those up. I mean, because you came through
for
in
sure.
touch a few times in my circle. Because I'd be like, all right, well, if you don't want to listen to me, here, let me play this for you. Listen, because sometimes it's got to come from somebody else for people
yeah,
to really
yeah.
want to
yeah,
tune in
sure.
to where you're coming from. So
I have been lately, like, taking on more of a role in my company, which we can talk about. Might as well go ahead and talk about
yes.
that now. I do something a little bit strange, but it's not really strange for the area. I am a professional wrestling promoter, so I own a professional wrestling company called Urban Combat Wrestling, and our whole niche in the game is that we do rap and wrestling from a way more urban kind of viewpoint. And we have, like, RapX come. You know, we'll have a match. I get a guy to come and rap in the ring, do a song, you know, jump back out. We have another match. Just keep the excitement going real quick and fast, you know, fast-paced type of night. And everybody comes out and has a great time. I converted a lot of my rap fans into wrestling fans through this, you know. So now they check it out a little bit.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's a,
See,
that's
I,
a
I
very,
you.
Very
I
different approach. Man, that's way outside the box, but very ingenious.
Didn't I
well,
say
I
it was
mean,
fucking cool? There's no other word for it. It was fucking cool.
It's
what
funny,
he was doing, I didn't
cool.
want to give it away because I wanted him to be able to say it. Exactly.
Yeah
man, it's rap
cool.
and wrestling, man, and it's for adults. We do our thing in bars and nightclubs, you know. We do, you know, kind of do stuff for the community. We have done a Juneteenth show a couple years in a row. We've tried the family-friendly thing, but it just don't hit like when you're in them smoke-filled rooms, you know what I'm saying, and alcohol is flowing freely, and everybody's kind of like living vicariously through the guys in the ring, and, you know, you kind of break the ice, and everybody's kind of screaming and yelling, and, you know, they're having a good time, you know, and it's a great feeling. You know, especially at the end of the night when you go in the back and you can count up. You know what I'm saying? And everybody can get paid and you can go home with a good feeling, you know. And then it's like, I think that every rapper is a storyteller, you know what I'm saying? But mainly we just tell stories about ourselves, you know. So that this venture has really expanded my foray into storytelling, because that's all professional wrestling is, it's storytelling. So we come up with characters. We come up with why these guys have a problem with each other. How is it going to look for them to have a problem with each other? Then we try to execute that, you know, through the venue of professional wrestling, using the ring as a stage, using in front of the camera as a stage, you know, and just trying to get people caught up in this whole story of good versus evil that we tell in professional wrestling. It's the only story to tell. It's the only story that works. It's the only story that gets any emotional connection to the fans, where they'll come back and spend their money to come and see, you know, what you're going to tell them again. You know, and it's been a wonderful journey into that and into crowd psychology and into how to keep people interested in what do humans do in certain situations, because it all got to be relatable, you know. The people in the stands, in the seats are watching it. They have to be able to relate to the struggles that the heroes and the villains are going through, you know. So it's been a really, really cool journey to kind of learn how to actually tell a story in the professional wrestling way, you know, to learn how to kind of manage all of the personalities and put on 2 hours of theater, live action theater. You see what I'm saying? Like,
fuck yeah,
it's pretty intense. You know what I'm saying? And we've been able to. I feel like we've been able to do a good job and learn something every time. So I just feel great about it. And I've been a professional wrestling fan my whole life. I grew up with it. Like, my dad and my granddad turned me on when I was a real little kid. And that's a common story in the South, you know. It's a common story. We all have been watching wrestling, you know.
I grew up on wrestling too. I can't even front. Like, I think.
Where'd you grow up at?
I can't trust a man. I grew up in California.
Hey, where'd you grow up at?
In California.
So California. You grew up on WWF, or did you? Or how? I mean, I don't want to really be rude. I just want, you know, how old are you?
No. We had them all. We had WWF. I'm timeless. I don't expose my age, but I'm old enough to see it all. And young enough,
I'm timeless. Okay. Yeah. Hey, I got a few gray hairs, man. Fun fact, Spaceman Jones is a granddad two times.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
that's
I got grandkids.
Oh,
man, I love them. I love them. I love to spoil them and then take them back to my son.
that's what grandparents are all about.
That's what's up. But, yeah, man, so we used to watch mainly in the NWA wrestling, Ric Flair and the Andersons,
yes,
and the Four Horsemen, and Sting, Lex Luger. Yeah, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's the one we grew up on.
Stone Cold is my number one. I am a diehard Stone Cold Steve Austin fan, and I'd love just to be able to
he
meet
was
with
cathartic.
Him and fucking throw a beer to him one day, but... Man, I love that dude.
It's 25,000. It's 25,000 a half hour to get them to come to your spot.
Jesus.
25 grand for a half hour. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he worth it.
I mean,
yeah, he's gonna get a crowd. You're gonna get your money back.
Maybe I'll just, you know, go where he stays and just happen to run into him one day.
yeah, but you know why Stone Cold works so good? Because everybody wanted to kick their boss's ass, and everybody wanted to be that son of a bitch that didn't give a damn and would fight
absolutely.
To the very last end. Everybody wanted to be that. You know, that's why he worked so good, because he was a character that, you know, was so thoroughly American that everybody wanted to be him. Black folks, white folks, Mexicans, Chinese, Indians, it didn't matter. Motherfuckers love Stone Cold, because when you hit that glass, he's going to kick somebody's ass. And he beat up his boss all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, who didn't want to go in the office and just kick their boss's ass? You know? So a lot of people live that fantasy through them, and that's the magic of kind of professional wrestler, man, is that you get to live out your fantasy through the guys in the ring. You know, and I guess that's the appeal of it too, man, being able to live vicariously, be dangerous.
So who's your favorite all-time great then?
Man, it changes all the time, man, because I still watch a lot of old-school wrestling, man, because I use a lot of the stories. I watch it so that I can stay up on how the matches at my promotion are supposed to look. You see what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I learn a ton by watching it. And also on the production, then I still watch a whole lot, so it changes. So this month I done been really, really on Macho Man. You know what I'm saying? He was great for everything that he did. Yeah, I've been on Macho Man a lot. He's very high on my list. Of course, Ric Flair. I don't like him personally, but Hulk Hogan was gigantic for wrestling. And I like a lot of Japanese guys. Mitsuharu and Kenta Kobayashi and some of those guys over there. They had great matches, and I like watching American guys go over there and wrestle. A lot of the old stuff that's on YouTube, and I still watch my Crockett shit that I, you know. So I like old guys. Macho Man on the top of the list right now.
I got a question. I got to ask you this. It's a wrestling question. Were you watching the night that Hulk Hogan turned against his best friend, Macho Man Randy Savage, and joined Kevin Nash and Scott Hall.
Yeah, I think I was. For the NWO. Yeah, I think I was in jail, but I think I was watching. I was locked up, but I think I was watching.
I forgot how
did nobody believe
it
was going to be Hulk Hogan?
Right, yeah.
I was 18.
Because you thought Hulk Hogan was coming out to support his friend and make sure, you know, get Kevin Nash and Scott Hall off of his buddy that they were beating up on. And then all of a sudden, Hulk Hogan just jumps into it and starts whipping his ass too. and they formed the NWO. I was going apeshit because I was little and I was a big Hulk Hogan fan, and you know he's one of the good guys, and you know da 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 all this stuff, and so like just to see that happening and
I was
that,
it blew my mind.
Oh my
it
God.
Blew my mind. I think I was locked up, but we watched it though, and that shit blew my mind. I can remember laying back like, damn, Hulk Hogan motherfucking turned bad. This shit crazy.
Right.
This shit crazy. And then the next week. When he came out and he was Hollywood Hulk Hogan and he had dyed his damn stubble black, I was like, this motherfucker tripping. He's tripping. He got black stubble and a blonde mustache. Get the fuck out of here, man. You bugged out, bro. You bugged out. Yeah, we laughed at that shit. We laughed like hell at Hulk Hogan doing that shit. Like, nigga, please.
Well, I'll say this. Little kid me, I hated Hulk Hogan. I never trusted Hulk Hogan. I always thought he was fake as hell. Even before he turned, I never felt that I am a real American because I thought he was saying pretty much fuck you to me. So I've never liked Hulk Hogan. He's always been a bad guy, in my opinion.
Well, we didn't like, for us, we didn't watch that shit. We watched the Southern wrestling. It was way different. But we knew all of them motherfuckers was rednecks. You could listen to their accent and tell they was rednecks. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But we lived immersed in redneck. But Hulk Hogan was some cartoon shit. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't real wrestling. We was like, nah, that ain't real wrestling right there. That's what we called it. Like, that's not the real wrestling. WWF ain't the real wrestling. We didn't ever hardly watch it. You know, it was too
yeah, it's
cold.
It was the Hollywood
wrestling. Yeah, it wasn't the real wrestling. They didn't bleed on WWF shit. You might see Dusty Rhodes goddamn. He might be covered in blood. You know?
Right. Well, you could see, they used to have the razors, the razor, you could see the razor cut.
Yeah, on their fingers,
before they busted their head. Yeah. I don't know, but see, my dad was a huge wrestling fan, so he had us watching all kind of, I just remember that would be the nights that I would get to stay up late as a kid, because we'd be watching all these obscure leagues with cats like the Missing Link and the Bombardiers. You see what I'm saying? So, and I just remember being a real little boy, and those would be the greatest nights because it would be this crazy league, and it seemed like it would be like two matches, but they would beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, because in different, I'm going to tell you, man, in different areas of the country, they had different workings, they had different styles that they wrestled in. And some of them places, man, y'all had to whoop each other's ass to make the crowd believe it. You know what I'm saying? Because it was all about, like, back then it was still, like, the kayfabe era. It was sticking to it, like, this is real competition. You know what I'm saying? So, man, they would kick each other's ass. That's why, you know, what got me hooked was watching the Road Warriors really thump people. Like, man, they was really hitting them boys with the clothesline.
Right.
Even though them guys, like, later on in the years, I found out that the Road Warriors would pay a part of their pay to their opponents to let them go crazy on them like that, to get them over, to make it elite, like, to make them like, damn, them motherfuckers is real. You know what I'm saying? See, and that's what sell the ticket. People want to see some real shit. People really want to see somebody get fucked up. That's really what sell the ticket, but that's a whole other story. You know, it's something about humans that want to see somebody else get fucked up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah, we have a
blood. I mean, that goes all the way back to like the gladiator days and stuff. You know, I mean,
yeah, man.
There's always been a human interest in bloodbath and fighting and stuff like that. You know, I mean, it's, you know, that's just a human thing. You know.
Yeah, it is. And then you like look at American culture, you know, American culture is basically like if you disagree with what I say, or you disrespect me in any way, I can kick your ass. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty much what's expected, even though you'll go to jail for it. But that's what's expected. That's what I grew up on. You know what I'm saying? Like every message in the media was that a man is supposed to like kick somebody's ass when they disrespect them. You know what I'm saying? There was in all of every piece of media that I saw, Conan and Rambo and Marshall, Jim West, and all of these niggas, you know what I'm saying? Every time they were soccer motherfuckers there all, on every show, you're going to at least see somebody get socked.
Right, right, right. All you know? Forms of disrespect are met with a response.
That's met with a response, an extreme response.
Met with a demonstration. Yeah, met with a demonstration.
Yeah.
You got to give an equal or more of a demonstration because you got to win that battle to get rid of all other wars that will come behind you. But it's an ignorant way of thinking when you really break that down. It's like, bro, I'm just like, is my
it's
life reduced
fearful,
to this? But
yeah, it's a fearful way of thinking. It's like living directly off of being afraid of the worst case scenario. You know what I'm saying? And like living out of that idea that this is the way I got to handle it because if I don't, then insert any worst case scenario. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's just, you're right, man. It is a very weird way of looking at the world whenever you kind of look at it objectively. It's fairly safe. It's fairly safe if you involve yourself in safe shit. It's fairly safe. You know what I'm saying? To be in the world, you know. When you involve yourself in dangerous shit or you're around dangerous shit, then, you know, then the odds go up. But, I mean, on a day-to-day basis, it's not, you know, if you're not living in the killing fields, you ain't got to kill. You know? People know where that shit is. And,
well, I think
it took
many
years to get out of that attitude myself, man. I used to be exactly that. You know, I didn't deal with disrespect in any way. But I realized I was, as my mother would say, I was also cutting off my nose to fight my face too in a lot of situations.
Yeah. Real shit.
I've honestly lived my life on respect is everything. You know, because you can do what you do, and I can do what I do, and we don't even have to, you know, collaborate or, you know, we don't have to be cool or nothing. But I can respect you as far as what you're doing and who you are or whatever. But once that line is crossed, I think every motherfucker deserves to be put in their fucking place. I mean, I don't give a shit who it is, you know. I kind of still live like that. I don't give a shit. Like, as I don't, I have a, I will throw down with you attitude. I mean, that's just bottom line.
Like, no, I don't play.
I mind my fucking business. I look out for me and mine, you know, and as long as me and mine are cool and ain't nobody fucking with them, there ain't no problem, you know, but as soon as that line is crossed, I will jump up in a fucking heartbeat. You know, me and Jesse talked about this last week about an incident that I had at a bar 2 weeks ago. You know, disrespected me in front of my lady and stuff like that. No, I'm not having it. I guess I didn't grow up. I'm sorry.
No. Here, I'm going to give you something. Here's the perspective that actually, I'm glad you brought this up because I'm going to give you the perspective that changed my life. Here was the question. Do you even care about that man's respect? Is that man even worthy of being respected? That changed my life because then I realized, well, wait a minute, what does your respect mean to me? Like, so I started seeing, like, certain people were, and it was one of those things that, like, it was something, like, you know, your dad tells you something or your mom tells you something and it doesn't click. What my dad used to always say is, you only fight men you respect. Don't fight men you don't respect. And so I became a snob.
Yeah.
Like, oh well, wait a minute. Are you even worthy of disrespecting me? Your opinion isn't relevant enough to be even seen as respect.
Yeah, and then,
so go ahead.
Oh no, I was agreeing with you. That's right.
And that saved a lot of men's lives. You know, that's kept me out of prison. And there's so many people in my life that don't even know they was in the shadow of death when I was like, oh, you got it. Like, they'll never even know. Like, bro, you was really, you know, you was about to be up out of here. You just don't realize. Ironically, there's a crazy Tupac story. The Tupac Nas story is that perfect example. Pac didn't even realize he was in the shadow of death at the time. So, for me, I look at it, I wear that as a badge of honor. And I can say, like, I didn't do anything. But, bro, we would have got you up out of there that night. You have no idea. So, yeah, I could be all of that. You punked me. Yeah, okay. But you didn't see him, and him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? He was gone, bro. And so that has saved my life. It's honestly, that whole perspective saved my life because I realized that I was fighting fights with people that I had already beat them. They could beat me. And I'm talking
man,
about
exactly.
with violence. You know what I mean? So
that's,
you realize
that's what
that,
I tell.
Like, you almost feel like you're picking on the special kids almost sometimes when you see someone that's where I
know
they are.
And that's exactly what I tell my guys all the time, you know, when they come at me, well, what should I do about this? I'm like, bro, you already winning most of the time, like, in life. Like, you own a house. You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas own houses and niggas own they own shit. And they, you know, they pay their own bills. They ain't living off of, you know, somebody, you know. And it's like, well, why is you arguing with this mouth breather, man? This motherfucker lives with his old lady and they split her goddamn check. He work at the convenience store. It's like, sucks. You know what I'm saying? Make his ass go get pump gas outside, walk back inside, and make his ass give you a receipt for the gas that you pumped outside. Make his life hell, like, fuck him. You know what I'm saying? This nigga's a servant, like, all the way in his mind, body, and soul. That's why he can't stand you bossing up, like, you know. And what you're saying is correct. Like, the respect factor is huge. If I don't respect you, I think that you're no threat, man, I'm going to keep it moving because I can outwalk you if I keep walking. A motherfucker who is, like, in that right. state of mind where they trying to beef, they going to be standing still talking shit. By the time you finish talking shit, I ain't going to strike you because you still talking. I'm going to get the fuck away from you because I don't want to go back to prison. You know what I'm saying? I don't like wearing drawers that come out the laundry. Another nigga wore them drawers last week. Nigga, I ain't into that no more. You know what I'm saying? I did that shit for 11 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't into that shit no more. I like laying on some ass. You know what I'm saying? Goddamn getting up when I want to. And making a sandwich out the refrigerator, being able to be in control of my own destiny. You know what I'm saying? I ain't getting tricked off the street by somebody who pissed off because they ain't a boss in their own life. You know what I'm saying? Move, keep it pushing on them niggas.
Right.
If they call you a pussy, good. They going to stay away from you. And anybody who believe that shit, let them believe that shit. And you keep moving. You keep losing that weight, that dead weight, that bullshit-ass
right.
interaction. You know what I'm saying? Let them niggas think whatever they want
right.
to about you. Keep moving and keep going
right.
and keep going to the light, motherfuckers who brighten up whenever they see you. You know what I'm saying? Always hitting you with some good advice. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Be around them people. Shit.
So
y'all got a better way of thinking than I do.
Jay, look, you know, remember that episode when I said people's problems with me is their problems? As long as
yeah.
they keep it over there with them?
Yeah.
That's where that
exactly.
That
but
that,
to
that go ahead. I'm listening.
But I am not, emphatically not, a pacifist. I will kill a motherfucker
yeah.
if I think that my life is in danger and will not feel bad about it. You know
right.
what I'm saying? I don't feel bad about
right.
using violence when it's called for. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel bad about
right.
it at all. You shouldn't. You know, because somebody done crossed that line, they done violated that close. But you got to be able to be judicious and wise about this shit. And I'm going to tell you the truth. The world is so big, how you going to get back in the corner if you don't back yourself into a corner? Nigga, if you not goddamn...
Man,
for real, think of all of the cats that you know that done died off of violence. And this is no knock on no victim shaming or none of that shit. This is just fact. One of the rarest things is a random victim of violence is rare. You see what I'm saying? That's rare. Somebody who's just minding their own business and some shit happened. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's rare.
Right.
9 times out of 10, motherfuckers be playing with fire and get burnt.
Yep.
Especially motherfuckers who you know hot in the head or hot in the ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, you run around fucking niggas old ladies. You got them robbing you motherfucking. Throwing your money up in everybody's faces. You are generally disrespectful. You play the tough guy role. You like to be around dangerous situations. You see what I'm saying? You don't know when to cut your friends off who doing bullshit. See, these things contribute to murder over and over and over and over and over and over again. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It ain't
oh, yeah.
the act. It's the periphery shit. You know what I'm saying? The shit that's not being talked about. You know what I'm saying? This nigga didn't never know how to walk away from peon. You know what I'm saying? He didn't know how to be. He didn't know how to be smart enough to be kind to a coward, you know, and play the humble role and let the man go on about his motherfucking business. You know what I'm saying? Had to be super nigga.
Sorry, that just caught me off guard.
And had to stand, and no, for real, had to stand on some principles that force you to make a decision that's life or death. You see what I'm saying?
Right. So, I think for you, Jay, it's just when you get these different perspectives thrown at you, they're a blessing because it makes you say, because what it is you haven't recognized your power yet and your influence yet. And it took me a long time because I come from a family of legendary tempers. Like
I hate to interrupt, but I have an emergency on my line that's calling me that I gotta take care of.
Okay. Well, let's play a song and we'll give it a minute and see if you can get it resolved and if not, we'll make do. But yeah, we'll put a song on real quick.
Okay. Yeah, I'll try. All right, bet. Cool. Thanks. Thank y'all, man.
Yep. Let's see here. I gotta scroll down here. So
I told you Spaceman was deep, though. I told you Spaceman was deep.
Man, I tell you,
it really is.
This has been some of the most incredible 45 minutes of No-Fi Note Radio Show. Man, he's all the way out here at the bottom because his name starts with an S. Where's that?
Yeah, so yeah, I come from a family of legendary tempers. And I mean, I used to couldn't control it at all. But then people gave me certain perspectives that made me say, wait a minute, certain shit is beneath me. Like, hold up.
You're right. And I should have felt that way. I should have been that way when that guy was approaching me because I knew.
He was in your space, though. He was in your space.
I knew.
Once you break the barrier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I knew I could have whipped his ass. And even everybody after the fact and, the following week and everything was like, we're so glad you didn't do anything because you would have murdered that man. And I should have known better than, but again, it goes back to me and, feeling disrespected because I was out of the situation until you drive your piece of shit little Ford Ranger back into the parking lot and blocked mine and my girl's way out of the bar, with your vehicle and I honk the horn and you want to get out and throw your hands up like I did something wrong. No, motherfucker, that was you, and I'm fixing to put you in your motherfucking place. Don't fuck with me. But I should, as you said, be more evaluating before I get into hasty decisions like that. But to me, when he pressed me up against my car door and squeezed me with my car door and shit.
All bets was off at that point.
Yeah.
All bets was off at that point, though, bro.
I was not thinking clear anymore. I was like, I'm fixing to whip this motherfucker's ass. I ain't been in a fight in a minute. This going to be good. But let's get back to music here.
Like I said.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Don't you know this is a gangster show? We call gangsters on here.
That's right. We some gangster motherfuckers, man. And don't you know who me and Jesse Lives are? We will fuck your world up. Don't fuck with us. We ain't playing this motherfucker.
But all in all, bro, that's the thing. As long as they keep they whatever they got across the room, then we fine. But once they breach the little personal space, however big your bubble is, bro, it's whatever for them. So I don't want you to think that, I should just be, fuck that Gandhi shit. Like, when you're in the face of danger, you're in the face of death, act accordingly. Like, I'm just saying all the other shit, but you can have that, bro. You want my attention? You think I'm cute? Like, that's what I'd be asking for. You think I'm cute or something? What is it? You want a hug? What the fuck? You want a cookie? But yeah, play some music.
All right.
We talking violence.
He's got one song on here. It's 4 minutes long, and let's try to give him as much time as he can. Without having to do, the show without him. So we'll play the longest song we got on the list here, and then we'll come back and
We'll reevaluate the situation, see if he's called back in yet. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, this is life. This is live. So, you know, whatever he's got going on in his world, hopefully it's nothing too serious. Hopefully everybody in his life and his world is okay. You know, we'll find out here shortly, hopefully, if we get a call back from him, you know, what happens. You know, if he doesn't call back in, hell, he doesn't call back in. You know what? We're still going to talk about him. We're still going to, you know, listen to his music. And, you know, we've got a short little bio here on the page, you know, and we can refer to that. And, you know, well, he looks like he's calling back in here. This is what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to put on a song. And me and Jesse are going to take him into the green room. We're going to find out the details, make sure everything's on the up and up, and we'll come back with you, okay? So here we go. This is Spaceman Jones and Life Being Good. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to No Fight Note Radio Show. It is I, your host, the guy in glasses, with me broadcasting from his home studio. This is my boy, Jesse Lives, and we have Spaceman Jones on the line with us tonight.
Hey.
Yes, yeah. Real quick. We do not condone violence on a Note by Note Radio Show, but we do condone protecting your ass if the situation arises.
Yes.
So,
yes.
We don't condone violence, but we do. But we do condone. But yeah, we do condone self preservation.
Yes.
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 So for those that are mental midgets that want to read into anything but the truth, that is true. Because you know we got some people out here that like to run with narratives. No, bro. I'm just saying protect your ass. You got a right to hold your patch. Every man does.
Yeah.
I want to say this. When you hung up, and we'll get to what happened here real quick, and you can just let everybody know that things all good. But I was telling Jesse, I was like, man, this is like the most intelligible, intellectual, you know, real 45 minutes, you know, on Note by Note. Like, you know, I've had some very keen and, you know, let's call it educated, you know, intellectual people on this show. This first part of the show here has just been very insightful and very intelligible. Not, I mean, not everybody that, you know, when we talk to them and we ask them questions or something like that, is it a, you know, intellectual response, you know? You know, you get a lot of, you know, man, and, you know, da, 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 da. Kudos to you on that. And also, while the song was playing, and I hadn't got to listen to the music this week before you came on, and just listening
bars
to that song,
I
was sitting there.
I
was just sitting there flowing and just kind of grooving in my seat here. And the music that you sent over the email or whatever, I already downloaded that shit to my phone so I could have it and I could play it when I want.
Word.
I just throw that out.
Well, there's a lot more of that where it came from, man. I have a real constant collaborator, man. He's my main man, Motherhood. He's a producer and a singer. And like now he's getting into some singer songwriter stuff that's pretty brilliant. So he's like a musical dynamo. And we have, I think we're on our eighth project so far. We got number 9 in the clip, ready to go. You know what I'm saying? And Motherhood is the shit, man. He's also in a band called Robots Win where they do like this electro R&B, white boy R&B shit that's real cool. And before that, man, he was in a hardcore band that was called Secret Lives of the Freemasons that was pretty famous. So he's been working around music for a long time. And we're from the same hometown, and we kind of linked up when we both got grown, and shit, we've been making music ever since we met. Takes a team. You know, we've had the same engineer on all our projects too, Justin Aswell out of Charlotte. You know, and our sound has just grown because we're able to kind of make music without the pressure of like trying to get famous or trying to make a whole bunch of money. You know what I'm saying? That's not really it. We're trying to do legacy shit. Like, we want it to last forever. You know what I'm saying? And be like a testament to what we stood for in life. You know what I'm saying? Because I got a record with the state. I got a record with the state, right? And if I die without creating some kind of legacy, some kind of landmark of who the fuck I was, that's the only thing that's going to be left of my damn name. I can't have it. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, I got kids and grandkids. I got to leave something behind that they could be proud of and aspire to do when to get past, you know? It's like that's the most important thing to me right now, being a man of a certain age. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to stop thinking about the momentary shit. It ain't all about, like, you know, a man's supposed to be, you know, have a castle and be comfortable in this shit, you know, and not be running around begging and looking crazy. But, you know, it ain't, once you get to a certain level, you know, keeping on going with it is kind of counterproductive, because all of those people, if you examine their life, it don't be full. You know, they just be like, damn, I'm just you know, it's all about the company or the brand or the corporation
right.
or whatever it is, man.
Right.
Shoot,
they keeping up
appearances like
for
a full,
you, for the world.
Yeah. And to keep it real, he goes to Mo, and my man sent me the shirt, Got Bars, you know, to go back to that, man, I remember how we met. Adlib told me to hit you up. He was like, hit up Jesse.
There
Liz.
We go.
That's your Adlib. He was like, hit up Jesse Liz.
Shout out to Adlib.
You know what I'm saying? Because we was thinking, man, shout out to Adlib, man. One of the grooviest dudes, you know what I'm saying? I've been solid with me 100% of the way. You know, love that guy. For real. But yeah, man, it's just all about, like, making something that's you, you know? And I feel like...
Right.
What we done been able to create is like 100% us, man, you know, and that's, I'm very, very proud of the fact to be, you know, an MC with my own sound, you know what I'm saying, with our, and we all got a group that got our own sound, you know, I'm very, very proud of that. And the guy with the glasses, man, you know, we'll link up afterwards, man. I'll send you an email that I can send you the catalog. Since you want to jam, I'll send you the catalog.
I love it, man. I do not listen to, like, the AM/FM radio on the fuck, you know, in, like, in my car or anything like that. Like, I do not listen
to...
I
listen to the old song stations.
You know, it comes on. But, you know, this is why I've created the show, was because I love music, and there is so much beautiful, you know, art that is not seen, mm-hmm. that is not heard, you know, because why? Because you don't have a record deal? Because you're not with some big label doing some big ass tour or anything like that? You know, like, that doesn't mean that your points aren't justified, your music isn't valid or anything like that. You know, like,
yeah.
to me, that's what it's all about. Like, you can't just take just these handful of people, because that's really all it is. When you really break it down, and the whole world of people who are doing music and stuff, there's only a handful that are famous. That's
yeah.
it. The
You're
rest
right.
of them, 90% of the rest of them aren't just, you don't know about them because you don't know they're there, because they're not blasting through your radio speakers. And, what is considered maybe underground or whatever you want to call it, you know, whatever's not mainstream, most of that stuff deserves to be mainstream more than what is on the mainstream, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, most of the time.
I mean, and that's the way I feel about it. So, like, you know, that underdog or, you know, whatever, like, you know, B-class, whatever you want to call it, what you like, that's my shit right there. Like, I could give a fuck less about, you know, and no disrespect to the ones that are, you know, maybe they are famous. Well, they deserve that fame because they are fucking, like, badass, you know. But there's a lot of it that's just fucking corny bullshit that just, it ain't worth the fuck listening to. But, you know, these motherfuckers got millions and millions of dollars for no fucking reason. And you ain't putting nothing
so
out
seems.
There in this world, you know.
Yeah. That's what I was
saying. Or so it seems. You know, it's a lot of cap and smoke and mirrors in the entertainment industry. That's what I
right.
tell a lot
yeah.
of guys, like, man,
right.
concentrate on your real life, go buy you a house, go get you a couple cars, go get you some money in the bank, then start rapping. Don't be trying to get famous and rich and comfortable off of something that's not in the odds. Like, you know, if you look at the statistics and the law of numbers, you know, it's pretty much stacked against you. If you don't, you know, if you ain't coming out of the gate with a couple hundred grand just to blow on getting noticed.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
And that's why most
most
of the worst music gets heard, because
yeah.
that's usually where the funding's at. That's why there's so many ex-drug dealers rapping, because they had to wash it somewhere. You know what I'm saying? A lot. The way
right.
the game was
yeah,
given to me
yeah.
is this.
But a lot of them, but
most
a lot of them, though.
Right.
A lot of the ex-drug dealers, you know that most of the ex-drug dealers that start rapping, it breaks them in the process. They be completely
oh, yeah.
broke
yeah,
by
yeah.
time they get on, and then it's the record deal that sustained them, and then they just be out there like, yeah, boy, I never fell off a stage. Oh, I was on for rap. That shit be capped. it costs all. It costs everything. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you want to have a, like, I guess I feel fortunate that I didn't, like, get on when I was young. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad I learned the lessons of going to jail and missing out on small shit in life. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm so thankful, you know what I'm saying, for the shit that happens for me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm very grateful because I know guys who work hard on their music, man, and they don't even make their money back. You know what I'm saying?
True.
Like talented guys. You know, so I feel fortunate where I'm at, where I'm able to kind of make my money back, and I can book a show at a venue and get some people to come to support me. I feel fortunate. You know what I'm saying, for that. It's not really, you know, and then I also know that there's a lot of cap out there, man. You got guys living in hotels. They might got a lot of Instagram followers, but they don't have a stable place to live. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
They got no property in their name.
Because it doesn't translate.
You know what I'm saying? Because it don't translate, bro. Because the cap don't translate. You know? It's like worry about perfecting your craft. Even if you are rapping about dope, be clever with the shit. Be Jay-Z. Be Pusha T. Be, you know, one of these other guys who are clever and use their mind. Like, man, one of my favorite groups, man, was Compton Most Wanted, and The Chill came out with a tape a couple weeks ago called Elephant. You got to go check it out.
Will do.
He got
a
song on there.
Way. He was back.
Man, The Chill been making records, man. But it's not all of them. MC8 got a couple verses on there. Yeah, MC8 got a couple verses on there, but he got a song on there called The Purge, where he say at the beginning of the song, like, y'all niggas supposed to use hip-hop to get to the bag. No, I think it's JD from the Lynch Mob say this shit. Y'all niggas supposed to use hip-hop to get to the bag. Not use hip hop to blow up and to become a gang member. That shit backwards, my nigga. And that shit struck me in the chest so hard, like, it's the truth. These niggas get rich and then become a gang member after you get rich. How dumb is that?
Yeah.
You gonna attach yourself to a RICO, to a 848, to an open murder case, to beef that you ain't got, don't know shit about? All kind of shit. Claiming the turf. Wow.
At
wow
war, don't
shit,
even know
man.
Why you at war. That would be killing me, y'all. You can't even tell me what we warring over. I can't do that.
Yeah,
you know
well,
I, mean?
I think,
need to know what kicked this off.
I think a lot of guys get caught up with the disease of they want that street cred to be the same maximum limit as, you know, their quote unquote Hollywood cred.
That,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that street cred worth about a 520 credit score. That's what it's worth.
Right. And if we real, let's be just I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say this is a Jesse Lives opinion, and you know how I am about my opinions, you know, but it's my opinion.
Yeah.
Who the fuck am I? No man in the street has street cred. You know who has the street cred? The fucking police. That's who got the street cred because they run the street because you niggas run when they show up. So, in my opinion, this is a thing of street credit. The feds, that's the street cred because they run the street. Why? Because that's who you run for. You don't shoot back. You'll blow my brains out, but y'all will freeze when they show up. So,
you're going to lay down the gun and put the hand up.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. I never thought about that, Jesse. All right. I feel you.
Hey, man.
The real boys are who? The boys in blue. The boys in blue run the street. Let's be real. But say what you're saying,
and
Space
the
man?
More that you and I definitely agree. And the more that you dig into how the gangs became created and all of that shit, and the CIA and all of that shit, like, nigga, you don't even really, niggas don't have no clue about what they're a part of and what they're doing.
Uh-uh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, zero clue.
Yes, sir.
You know? It's craziness, man. You know, it's craziness, man. And then, like, it get deeper when you find out that they was all created to protect the neighborhood. And then over time.
Right. Greed.
Just weird,
greed,
man.
And jealousy came
You know, I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I can't talk down on the gang culture, though. You know what I'm saying? I won't
no,
do
not
that.
At all.
But I will say that I can see its flaws and its drawbacks in ways that it hasn't been able to kind of grow and blossom and mature. You know what I'm saying? Kind of growth is stunted. You know what I'm saying? By design.
Right.
You know, and it done affected all areas of the community, you know.
True.
I mean, touching base on that, what you were just saying there, when, you know, like the gangs being created, isn't that what Crips stand for? Like community resistance and progress?
Depending on who you ask, I don't know. I wouldn't know.
I just
bring that up. I watch a lot of comedian shit because I love laughing. And I remember, if I'm not mistaken, Eddie Griffin did, on one of his stand-ups, he was talking about that, and he's like, you know, y'all think, you know, this was, you know, gangs was just, you know, formed just to be gangs. No, like, when it started, you know, and the Oakland riots, I think, were going on, you know, one brother went, you know, this place, one guy, you know, went to this place, and one formed the Crips, and one formed the Bloods, and, you know, Crips even, you know, stands for community resistance and progress.
Nah, it didn't happen like that. Yeah, that wasn't how the Bloods came about. Yeah, that wasn't how the Bloods came about.
Like
that ain't
that.
How the Crips came. Yeah, it didn't happen like that. It's well documented,
now,
though. You can go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's well documented.
I'll say
though.
What I will give you is this. I think that saying came from, there was a political aspect that they tried to play, but it didn't quite go the way they tried to play it.
I think by design it didn't. You know, they kind of sent somebody in there like,
give them niggers some dope. We ran the same game on them that we ran on the Panthers.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
Send Tyrone in there. And Tyrone's some guy who been in the Army. You know what I'm saying? They recruited his ass to the clandestine. He's like, send Tyrone in there. He's like, okay, I'll go in there. Tyrone pull up. You never seen this nigga before. He got gold dripping off of him. He got a big, nice car. He tell you that he from motherfucking Kansas City or goddamn Portland or Dallas. You ain't never seen this nigga a day in your life. But he got some money. He take your ass out to eat. You know what I'm saying? Like, and infiltrate the neighborhood. Like, shit, I got this dope. This nigga done been good to you, though. Y'all done been fucking hoes together. You don't know. This nigga the police, the CIA. And you never get arrested. He just introduced you to the dope gang. You know?
Exactly.
Like, I know that shit happened. Several times, probably all over the world.
Yeah, I got family that happened to. You know what I'm saying? So, like, this, the understanding of the street I have, I come from a family of gang members. So this was them.
Yeah.
The thing that blessed me is I had the talent to run a football, and they always were big on pressing me. I used to, that's, you know, as a kid, you hate that.
Oh, nigga, I know you used to get prepped. Boy, I know you used to get pressured like hell to play some football. You better play, they got run, they got big ball. Shit, they knew you had a chance.
I wanted to be in the street. Yeah.
But you wanted to be them.
But, you know, when you're coming on, when you come
man,
on,
I know
you
exactly
what
you're talking about.
You know what I mean? So, but
man, I know exactly what you were talking
ass,
about.
Take your straight A ass, take your square ass, and that used to be the biggest insult.
Yeah.
I look back at it now, and it's like,
man, nigga,
save my
nigga,
life,
listen.
Bro,
let me tell you something, man. I wish that I was a real bookish kid, a nerd. And so I would come down the street. I'm hyped on what we learned in school. You know what I'm saying? I'm coming down the street. I'm reading books. I'm sitting on the center, on the community center ground reading books. And them niggas used to roast me. They ran me right into being a gangster because I couldn't take it. You see what I'm saying? I couldn't take it. I didn't have nobody telling me, stay in them books, nigga. That shit was highly discouraged. You know what I'm saying? You sissy ass out here reading books, make me fight and shit.
Right.
You ain't going to be no sissy. You know, what the fuck you reading? Take my book and throw it on down. I'm like, God damn. But, you know, it's big cuz them. They think they doing the right thing. But
They
think they're doing the right thing, but
blessed,
it was.
You know what I mean? And I think a
yes,
lot
you
of
was. You was very
right
much
thing.
Blessed. Yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
You
but
was
I,
very
I
much blessed. I wish.
I know that. That's why I try to. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Yeah, man. And we just two guys who had the same influence, who had the same pressure, but it just turned out different. You know what I'm saying? Like my intellect wasn't valued to them niggas. You see what I'm saying? They seen it as something that wasn't, you know, it wasn't going to profit me nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So my cousin them used to make us fight, like make us fight. You know, so.
Well, I didn't get past that. That was mandatory. Like, that was, like, don't get me wrong. I'm not innocent at all. I've taken my shots at prison. I've been blessed. That's because I've been, that's all I can say. I've been blessed.
But what I'm
no
saying, it was just the.
By any.
But you see the influence, though, the results of the way that you steered, you know what I'm saying? It comes out in the wash. You know what I'm saying? It comes out in the wash.
True indeed.
Because to fight against the stereotype of being a sissy or a nerd or all of that, man, I did the most. You know what I'm saying? I got locked up before all of my peers. I was the first one to, you know what I'm saying, like out of my peer group, out of all the guys who was all in the same grade, just about, you know, I was the first one to get locked up. Everybody was like, Dave, crazy. You know,
you're the most active.
Yeah, I was super active. I was super duper active, you know. But it was all in search of, this is some shit I used to say to my therapist when I was in prison, like, man, my whole life, when I was a little kid, I would go outside, and the coolest ones was, you know, all the dope boys. You know, this was in the 80s, so everybody was with the big chains and the booming systems. It was a different world. It was open-air drug market. And so I seen what I wanted to do. I didn't want to be tired like my dad and fighting with my mom over bills and shit when I just seen him and Junior up the street, rest in peace, with about $5,000 or $6,000 in one pocket. I didn't want to. It didn't inspire me to go be a working man. You know, it didn't at all. So from the time I was little, I wanted to be the bad guy. Then you get to the peak, you have a goal and it's empty and hollow and detrimental. You know what I'm saying? You regroup or you fucking die in that shit. Or destroy a bunch of other lives.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Like and you know, faced with the continuing to, you know, time was, I just kept getting more and more time. Like, they weren't playing with me no more. I was getting 7 years at a time, 8 years at a time. Like, that's
what you kept bumping your head till you got it right, though. That's
the thing. Yeah, man, four times. Yeah, man, I went to prison four times.
Yeah.
And then I came home, and I was, like, already, like, past the age of that you're supposed to be when you, you know, trying to do something creatively. But, shit, I never, man, you know how many times niggas done laughed at me and said I was too old to be doing this shit? If I had a dime for, dollar for all that shit, I could buy another house. You know what I'm saying? But fuck them niggas. Now they like, man, you smart as hell. You always been smart. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, I just stuck to it. And yeah, shit, I done had my hands in all kind of shit since I done been, you know, trying to do this right path. It ain't always straight and narrow. You know what I'm saying? You got to do what you got to do, period. You know, but
right.
I got a goal, and that separates you from a lot of motherfuckers just as long as you got a goal and you trying to do something to go towards it. You know, it ain't going to be perfect, but if you keep that in front of you, man, it'll always lead you. It'll be like that little light they talk about. You know, but it's also good to have good people around you too, man. That's another great thing. It's better to be by yourself than around a bunch of negative motherfuckers, you know?
Right.
You know, so changing your circle. That
if you want to know your future, look at the people you hang around. Or if you want to be a dope artist, you need to hang around other dope artists. You know, like, and that's true. That ain't even, I don't even think that's a parable. I just think that is just the law of attraction. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, like I said, this is one of my opinions.
But it's a true one, though.
Your journey is, but I feel like your journey, though, you... For example, for someone like me who I look for inspiring individuals, and I don't think you'd be able to, and I have a hard time finding them in the world because I can see through a lot of bullshit. Mm-hmm. So I think what you went through is so you can inspire somebody like me just by, hey, bro, this is what I'm dealing with today. Because it's just like, motherfucker, I was dealing with that shit yesterday. Damn, okay, good. I mean, there's a few times on your post, I've actually said it, like, man, we was just talking about that shit, man. See, like, I told you, I was going to chuck the hell out that nigga. See, he was lucky. Look, like, I told my brother that. Like, so, I'm for real. Like, but I feel like your life story gives you that perspective because that's the have because of the life experience. I hate to use the word woke because it's been so overplayed, but that's the only term I can think that would make sense in this space. So I don't think it's being bad. Go ahead. Oh, because here, I just want to give you this last piece, and then I'm going to shut up. Because something we say in my inner circle, sometimes your story, that's just your story. And you had to play your story for you to be whoever you were supposed to become. You know what I'm saying? Because even in all, no matter what you believe in, whoever the Messiah is, that motherfucker bears a real burden before he ascends. You get where I'm going?
Yeah, hell yeah. Hell yeah, I get where you're going, man. That's something that I think about all the time because I, you know, try to think about things in a spiritual way, like what are we supposed to be doing with this life? You know, what am I supposed to be concentrating on? How am I supposed to damn live? You know, these are not, like, practical questions. These are essentially, like, spiritual questions. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the basis of it. So, you know, so when I think about it, like, the Messiah or whoever it is having a hard burden, shit, just think about being on the clock all the time like God and have to manage everything. That got to be a hard job. No wonder he's trying to get out from under it and find the son, not this motherfucker somewhere that can help him do some of this shit. You know what I'm saying? Nigga, just imagine you got to be on the clock all the time. You got to make the sun come up and make sure everybody wake the fuck up and, you know, keep all the hearts pumping and count all the hairs and shit. That's hard. That nigga, that sounds like a lot of work. Nigga, God must be tired of the motherfucker. I be looking for some sons out this bitch too. Come help me share this shit. Nigga, like, goddamn, I need your help. You know what
I'm saying? See, I've never thought about that either. That's crazy, man. Just all the prayers you got to hear in a day. Like, all the prayers.
Man, that's
every
why I don't understand
prayer.
Why do niggas chase power? That shit is nothing but it's a burden, it's a curse, and it's guaranteed to make you an evil motherfucker, period. Look at all of the examples that you have through the histories of time. Chasing power over people, chasing power over this and power over that. You know, if it ain't yourself you're trying to get power over, then, nigga, you really going against the grain. You're kind of demonic. You know what I'm saying? Because that shit don't lead nothing but one place. You trying to run everything and be in charge of everything, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very different perspective to look at, you know. But I'm just going to chime in here, you know, and on what Jesse said, you know, about your life and your life story influencing others, you know, because you've been there, you've done that, you know, with the whole prison thing or whatever. And, you know, hopefully, you know, as you touch people, you know, throughout your life, you know what I'm saying? And they, you know, they see what you were and what you've become and know that they don't have to go that route. They can skip all the bullshit and concentrate on, you know, doing things the right way and save them from having to experience life as you had to experience it, you know. So
yeah, exactly.
I just want to throw that in there real quick.
That's the whole point. But see, you know, it's done been a long road and a journey. Because a lot of times when I first introduce myself to people and we begin to work, you know, I try to be shrewd, so I don't disclose a whole lot, you know. But whenever I, you know, we get into it with folks, and you know, over time of doing business or working with people or just being around, or, you know, you get to open up. And then I tell people, you know, yeah, I did a lot of time in prison. They are always taken aback and surprised, you know, clutching their pearls like, what did you do? I can't even believe or think of you doing anything. And I'm like, you know, it's America. What you think? You know what I'm saying? I was an entrepreneurial young man. Look at my skin tone.
Yeah.
We're not passing down no corner stores or no
spirit businesses.
Yeah, I have an entrepreneurial spirit. Madame, I'm an American. You know what I'm saying? So, and I'm a Black American, so there's only a couple things that we can do. You know what I'm saying? That's accessible to a teenage Black American kid. There's only a couple things you can do, and you can't buy Michael Jordan shoes off cutting grass. You got to cut a whole week's worth of grass to get one pair, especially back then when they were getting out 10s and 20s and 15s to cut grass. Like, that was too slow. It's too slow. Not when my homeboy just showed me that he can make $1,000 selling like counterfeit drugs at night when all of the, because back then the grown men would not let us hustle during the daytime. They'd run us off the block. They wouldn't sell us nothing. They'd tell on you. They'd call your mama and get you a whooping. I mean, that's just how they was when I was growing up. So when we was trying to sneak and dip and dab, we would have to do it late night. When everybody don't went to sleep, we would sneak out the house and have counterfeit, like, fake drugs, Benadryl or something that would numb them up real quick, drop a little bit of wax in there so they could feel it, because our block was a powder block. So, shit, we would go and sell that shit. We would gank up, you know, $120, $130 at night and feel like big ballers. You know, we was all, like, a group of kids, 11, 12, 13 years old, you know. But that's just what we had. What we had. Yeah, we was little kids, you know, but the older dudes wouldn't let us hustle. Like, man, shit, if they would have caught us doing that shit, man, we would have gotten too much trouble. They would have went to our parents, like, and if you trying to buy some dope, they're going to tell your mama, he out here trying to hustle. You better bust his ass. And wouldn't do shit, like, run you off the block. Like, they had, it was a code, but this was, like, in the 80s, though, you know, early 90s, 91.
I grew up with the same code. Like I told you earlier, I got ran.
You see what I'm saying? They will run your ass off the block. Get your ass out of here.
Let me catch you right here. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to catch you out here doing this shit. And we would sneak late night. It don't exist no more. We would sneak out late night because the junkies would come through in our block, because we live, I'm from Asheville, it's close to Tennessee, so it would be white people coming from all, it's not, Western North Carolina is not a big area. Asheville, the biggest city, and it ain't, we don't even have 100,000 people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like the biggest area around. So they flock to get drugs here. And, man, they would come through the block late night. All the hustle's gone. It's super late night. We snuck out. Man, we would sell them all kind of fake shit. And then, you know, we might catch a junkie like my uncle or something that's kind of desperate. He'll take our money and come give us some short shit, rip us off. But we got some real to mix in with the – man, we was just out there trying to do something, you know. Trying to get some money because my mama, it was three of us. Wasn't no way my mom and daddy making the minimum wage for uneducated, didn't finish college, you know, a little bit of college. That shit don't count for shit, you know what I'm saying, most of the time. So we couldn't afford the Jordans. We couldn't afford the starter jackets and all that shit. We had to go and get it on our own, you know, because didn't nobody want to be, like, peer pressured and picked on and shit, and the girls don't fuck with you in. You know, it's kind of miserable for a poor kid in school. I mean, just to be honest, they can talk about family love. You know what I'm saying? It kind of sucks. Nigga, that shit sucks. You know what I'm saying? And I lived through that, man. I'm going to tell you, man, I got sent off for having a little bit of weed at school and socking this kid. I came back, didn't have no money, came back to school. Niggas was already selling dope. So I come back to the eighth grade, and cats got little thin, little gold chains and, you know what I'm saying? They got, you know, a couple hundred in the pocket. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, I can't get no girls like this, man. Not at all. Because
right.
All the fine girls,
right.
Like, you know, I could get one of these troglodytes, but that ain't never been my style. You know? I want no ugly girl. You know what I'm saying? I don't want no ugly girl. You know, if you want a pretty girl, shit, you got to have something. You know, and my mom and daddy was so strict.
Right.
Like, niggas. Wasn't no allowance. I keep food and roof over your head and you know what I'm saying? All that type of talk to get what I buy you. You know what I'm saying? Like that type of shit. But, you know, it was still a lot of love, you know, but it was just some of the choices that I felt like that I had to make shape me to who I am today. And some of it was unfortunate, you know, and I can look back and see the mistakes that was made and kind of try to alleviate them first in myself, the effects of them in myself, and then try not to pass them shits on. You know what I'm saying? And that's all you can ask of yourself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Cause,
right.
Because if you think for a second that you're going to be able to, like, oh, I'm going to raise my kids to be this or to be that, nigga, you spitting at God pretty much. You know what I'm saying? You telling life to come fuck you. You know what I'm saying? Don't, please don't have any type of expectation because you can't control none of the shit. You can't control it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can't control nothing outside of you and how you react to shit. You know what I'm saying? You can try to plant all them seeds. You can try to, you know, be the guy who's on top of everything, but then you end up, you know, full of fucked up expectations. You know what I'm saying? That shit always be a disappointment. It always be a disappointment when you, like, try to build somebody else up to fulfill something that you wanted. You see what I'm saying? It's always a letdown. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know why people even try that shit no more. That is outdated technology, like a steam engine on a car. It ain't going to get you nowhere.
That's a good one, ain't it?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that was good.
Let's, I mean, you know, even like...
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. What did you have to say?
Oh, no,
I can talk for a long time.
Oh, I you know what? If we had 12 hours, I would completely let you do that. But we don't, and I want to make sure that we do get all your songs in and stuff like that. So I was just going to take another little break.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll play another song. We got 30 minutes left in the show.
And, and you know, we can, you know, yeah. So we talking good shit, but we getting off subject here. We get back to the basis of the show, which is about music and doing your good shit here. I want to make sure there's just a balance of both. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, for sure.
Okay. So we're gonna play another song here, and ladies and gentlemen, just stick right with us. We'll be right back, and we're gonna continue talking with Spaceman Jones. Just hang with us here. Is it Darker Days or Darker Days Pass?
Darker Days Pass.
Okay. All right. Because sometimes in the descriptions and stuff, when I get to songs or whatever, it's not actually all of that. You know,
it won't show the whole fire.
Want to make sure that you know. But here we go. This is Darker Days Pass. You know, I mean, it's kind of what a lot of the show has been about already is, you know, talking about, you know, the darker days, you know, in your past, you know, and things that you've went through and that you've overcome and a lifestyle that you're obviously, you know, not trying to go back to anytime soon, you know, because you got all this good shit going on nowadays. This is a good song to be, you know, played, you know, during the show that we've had here, I think, you know. So here we go. This is Darker Days Pass, and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Whole lot of men, not one king. Whole lot of wins, not one ring. Whole lot of fans still ain't free. Whole lot of plans still ain't achieved. But we can talk a good one, nigga. Don't let the past illustrate a path, my nigga. We was built to last, my nigga. I don't think they know the half, my nigga. Crime pays, nigga, fuck what the law say. Till the shit goes sideways. 40 cent a day, washing trays, hoping I can steal a gang of chicken, nigga, make some plays. Addicted to the hustle, I'm a J, for the action and the pay. Keep my hands dirty, but I got a clean face. Shout to them niggas taking risk on the chase. Still play it safe, keep Jake far away. These niggas savage out the gate. Don't let them slice you thin, they gon' make you out of place. Set your rate and get the fuck up out the way. Let God grant grace, shoot a fucker in his face. Cause we need all the change in my safe. Sour hearted losers love to take. We only had to dodge the noose in slavery days. Now every little nigga got a K and don't aim when they spray. Whole lot of men, not one king. Whole lot of wins, not one ring. Whole lot of fans still ain't free. Whole lot of plans still ain't achieved. But we can talk a good one, nigga. Don't let the past illustrate a path, my nigga. We was built to last, my nigga. I don't think they know the half, my nigga. I'm from a place where survival costs freedom. Most of the time we dying without reason. We we be lost in the south side of season. A whole lot of flavor, but just as much grieving. Shining in the dark place wakes demons. Pickles in they souls, see success start scheming. Deadly if they catch you from the blind side. Lean you with the sneak blow, hate got us hog tied. Niggas plot your murder, double back and scream we all ride. Got me looking crazy at my niggas from my own side. If somebody fuck with little hearts, they gon' all die. I was seeing rounds, rock browns, wait on chow time. Praying to my soul that we all keep the right mind. Shopping for another pole, I know it's crunch time. Will the blind lead the blind till the end of time? Some of these clowns tripping, but we doing fine. Whole lot of men, not one king. Whole lot of wins, not one ring. Whole lot of bands still ain't free. Whole lot of plans still ain't achieved. But we can talk a good one, nigga. Don't let the past illustrate a path, my nigga. We was built to last, my nigga. I don't think they know the half, my nigga. Whole lot of men, not one king. Whole lot of wins, not one ring. Whole lot of fans still ain't free. Whole lot of plans still ain't achieved. But we can talk a good one, nigga. Don't let the past illustrate a path, my nigga. We was built to last, my nigga. I don't think they know that.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to No Fight Out Radio Show. It is I, your host, the guy in glasses, with me broadcasting from his own studio. It is my boy, Jesse Lives, and we have Spaceman Jones on the line tonight with us. And I'm going to just say this.
Ooh.
That fucking hook, holy shit. good God.
I wrote that song about 2 days after Nipsey Hussle got killed.
Jesus, man. Man, oof. That shit hit for real. That is awesome. I loved it.
Yeah, man. That came off of a 2020 release. It was 2020 release called Loops of Life.
Man,
that
was
our first vinyl release.
That's fucking bars right
first
there.
Time we dropped
for real.
Vinyl. Thank you.
I absolutely fucking loved it, man. That was absolutely amazing. I got about three people in mind right now that I'm gonna email all your stuff to. Right, I swear. As soon as this show's done,
y'all gonna hear this cat.
So, I got a question. I was thinking about this, and I've never asked any of my artists this, but I'd like to ask you if that's okay. When we're on break and you're just listening to your song, are you like kind of mouthing the song as it's going along, or are you just like set your phone down because you know you got like 3.5 minutes and you done heard the song a million times?
No, man, I listen to the song. I listen to the song and I experience it the way, you know, I experience it in the moment.
Okay.
That's
all right.
Good,
so you just kind of, you sitting there just kind of vibing too, right? Like, because I know me.
Yeah.
When this shit's hitting, like I'm sitting in my chair and I'm chair dancing, you know, and kind of bebopping my head around. You know, Jesse's seen me do a lot because a lot of the times we'll be FaceTiming each other, you know, while we're doing a show. You know, so, and I know he's done it too. So I was just wondering what does the artist do while he's listening to his song? Like, is he annoyed because he's heard it, you know, a million fucking times, or is he jamming out with us, you know? So.
I'm definitely listening.
Artist never doesn't like. The only thing an artist would do, if they're a real artist, they'll be like, damn, I wish I could have said that bar different, this bar different. But outside of that, if you was jamming and you know you was jamming,
you listening to that thing. You listening to that thing. Man, yeah. And then, like, the way that I write is a little different. Sometimes I can discover meaning for myself later on after listening to it. Like, it make different associations in your brain. You know what I'm saying? For me, after I learn new shit, you know what I'm saying? The songs be different. Go back and listen to an album that's completely different after you learn something else. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, let's say if you listen to the Illmatic album, and then you go back and watch the documentary about Illmatic and then listen to it again, it's going to be a completely different album because you don't know little stories about the shit is going to make little different pictures in your brain. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And a
right.
lot of times
okay.
when I'm talking on especially my records, I like to see the future. You see what I'm saying? So I like to listen back to see all of the shit that I done accomplished since I wrote it down and put it in on the rap. It's like calling it to pass. You know what I'm saying? And like invariably, like so much stuff I done talked about in songs done came true after I done, you know, wrote it and recorded. It's like it's a spell for real. So that's like a part of my shit with it. You know what I'm saying? And I sacrifice listening to a lot of different music to kind of keep my style. So I listen to a lot of unreleased shit, shit that I just make for me. You know what I'm saying? And that kind of keeps me able to sound like me because, like, I'm a human, so I'm easily influenced. If I listen to a lot of shit, then that shit start creeping into my style. You know what I'm saying? Especially if I like it a lot and I admire it. So I try to keep that shit kind of to a minimum. You know, I do listen to other shit, but it's usually probably the same group of 10 or 20 albums that I've been listening to since I was like 20 or 22, you know. Sometimes
so,
I pick up new shit, but.
So on a random day, if I pulled up to you, you know, at a red light, like, what are you bumping? What do you, you know, what do you got playing?
Probably a YouTube documentary or something that I'm listening to. But if it's music, it's always. I like a lot of, like, right now my playlist is it's got a lot of Mos Def on it because I love that album, The Ecstatic. I think it's a super slept on album. It's an immaculate album. I got that on there. I got some Doom on there. I got some Goody Mob on there. I got some. Them really the ones I've been listening to.
Okay.
And then, of course, The Chill from CMW, that Elephant album. I've been listening to that a lot. And, of course, I listen to Tupac a lot still. And a lot of old Southern shit that's kind of obscure, B-Lo and a lot of that old Pen and Pixel crazy shit from my youth that I like. Ghetto Mafia, Straight from the Deck, old shit. I like old shit.
So,
you know, Scarface.
So,
and,
so. Come on, keep talking. Keep saying your list.
Yeah, Scarface.
Keep
and
saying something profound.
Too Short and a lot of that old shit, man. And since I started making beats a few years ago, I really went back and started listening to a whole lot of that production from back then, and reading liner notes and finding out who did what on what songs. And, just trying to learn more about, you know, the production style of the music that I like, because I love, you know, that stuff that's in that pocket. It's not too fast. I got on a trip where I was making trap for a while. I don't know why, but I just got, I guess it's just being from the South, man. I like a lot of that shit. The lyrics are horrible, but the beats are always pretty good. So, you know, I was making that for a while, selling beats and shit to these young kids sometimes. And I even made a trap album. But I talk about that in a song called You Never Know on the Immaculate Conception. Spaceman Jones and the Motherships is out now everywhere. Little plug. I talk
say it again
about
one more
that.
Time.
It
say it for
a,
the people in the back. One more time.
Yeah.
Say it one more time for the people
Immaculate
in the back.
Conception, Spaceman Jones and the Motherships. EP just came out a couple weeks ago. It's everywhere. Y'all just type in Spaceman Jones and the Motherships, and it'll be a gang of shit that'll come up. We've been making music together since 2017, and we put out, I think, 8 tapes so far. So we've been trying to twerk a little bit.
That's fire.
And,
so for the listeners,
you know,
I'm going to throw this in here real quick. So for the listeners that I know that are artists, you need to re-listen to this show and pick up those projects he's talking about. Because especially if you consider yourself a lyricist and consider yourself a writer, hey, that's a blueprint to great lyrics, great storytelling, just great creativity, because you're getting a little bit of everything and a whole bunch more. So You know what you need to do? You need to make yourself a playlist, bro, and make that available for people.
Yeah, I think I might do that, man. I've never even thought about doing that at all. I used to do radio from 2013 to 2018. I had a radio show called the Open Door Radio Show. And it was cool, man. It was just too many hours, and it was a community radio, so there was no money involved. And it's like, damn, I'm spending like 12, 13 hours a week on this shit, and I can't make no money. I can't even plug my own shit. So I was like, we'll see you later.
Yeah,
it was fun.
I ain't getting paid for this, but I have a lot less time invested into doing a little podcast versus radio thing.
I had to do volunteer hours. I had to like log in my playlist and all kind of shit, man. Take shifts doing different shit. Then my emails was just going crazy. It was a lot, man. It was a lot, and I wasn't able to, like, monetize it. And that was at a point in time I was, like, working full-time, like, as, you know, cooking and shit, and that's a hell job. You know,
yeah.
So I'm doing 40, 50 hours a week cooking and then trying to make music and got a family, and, you know, it was just too much, man. So I decided to let the radio show go. But I love the Open Door Radio Show on Asheville FM 103.3 FM. I used to love that station, man.
Hell yeah. I love doing that. That was cool as fuck. I ain't mad at you, man. You know, you gotta have that happy balance, you know what I'm saying? And if there's not that balance, you have to make room for that balance for, you know, not just the other people in your life, for your own personal, you know, thing. You know, like you've gotta have that balance, you know, between home life and work life and, you know, your play life, you know, so to speak, you know. You got to find that happy medium in it all. And, you know, sometimes you do. You just got to let things go and let it be what it is. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with it, you know. You did it.
Yeah,
you got
man.
History
and
with it. You like doing it, you know, and there's nothing wrong with it with moving on and moving forward.
Yeah, man. And, you know, and then you stick to your principle. And at that point in time, my principle was, hey, man got to get paid. So I'm gonna go do something where I can get paid. You know, that's what it was at that point in time. You know what I'm saying? But if y'all don't mind, I know we got to go into another song. If I could give a couple shout outs because I love my team.
Yeah, we've got
18. Go ahead.
Yeah, we've got 18 minutes, man.
Oh wow! So we got plenty of time. All right, I want to give a shout out to my partner, my girlfriend. She's always around. She always help out, give me ideas. Holding me down. She's always been an ace in the hole for me. Shannon, peace to you. I love you, baby. And then to my bros, Heath and Horace, they always support me. You know what I'm saying? They always come through when I need them, give me the love that I need along with my parents and you know, my kids and grandkids. You know, shout out to y'all. Thank y'all so much. And my business partner, Moot, my co-owner in Urban Combat Wrestling. This is a guy who I'm able to trust and count on implicitly. You know, he always takes up my slack, and we always on the same page. Just about as rare to have people that you are working with where everything kind of comes out straight in the wash, and y'all always kind of are in tune with the decisions that are made, and you are willing to kind of sacrifice for the other guy. And I kind of put his wants, needs, and desires ahead of mine in the business, and he does the same for me, and that kind of makes it work somehow. You know what I'm saying? I try to make it best situation for him and his. You know what I'm saying? And he in turn tries to do the same for me, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful partnership. And you know, I'm hoping that we able to get money forever. You know. Because this dude is awesome, so thank you. And I also want to give a shout out to, of course, Motherhood, who we've been rocking. You know what I'm saying? But our relationship was way more artistic than just trying to get some money out of this shit. But I appreciate all of the people that's around, you know, and all the guys who helped me write Urban Combat Wrestling, and all of the guys who helped me with angles and helped me like set up chairs and set up the ring and, you know, take money at the door, and the guys who helped me edit video and shoot the videos, and just everybody who come and help out, the fans, man, and the boys who come and risk their goddamn life for some shit I done dreamed up for them to do. Now, those guys deserve a super round of applause. All of the workers that come in and, you know, let me use them as live action He-Man, you know. So
and you're in Nashville, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm in Asheville, North Carolina, yeah.
Okay.
And we actually have a show coming up April 24th at the Getaway. We are having Rhythm on the River. It's going to be like a wrestling, rap and wrestling show / birthday party, because me and Mook got birthdays real close. You know, and shout out to Alan Brody, too. You know what I'm saying? We got a wrestler that's on the roster, you know, and a lot of people may not know this, but a lot of people do know, but Alan Brody is my biological son, so this is my guy. You know what I'm saying? And not only is he a hell of a wrestler, but this guy is, like, up and coming on the battle rap scene, so y'all watch out for Alan Brody. I think he just won the belt in the Dog Pound Battle League, so he coming, you know, April 24th, the Getaway. If you're in the Asheville area, come through. You know, it's going to start at 6. We're going to have hard-hitting matches. We're going to have some dope, dope rappers. We got my boy Kilo, and we got the Splash Brothers out of Greensboro going to come and do some songs for us. We got DJ Destro. They're going to have some cold and frosty drinks going on. You know what I'm saying? And you never know. I might pull out the hot dog cart. And serve some house-made hot dogs, you know what I'm saying, from my boys over at Foothills. They make their own hot dogs in-house because we don't deal with the nitrates. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow, okay.
All right, so this is April 24th?
April 24th at 6. All
right.
At
right up the street.
I'm right up the street from you.
Well, yeah, what's the event called?
It's called Urban Combat Wrestling Presents Rhythm and Wrestling, sponsored by the good folks at Silver Ball Subs and the wonderful World of Plumbing. You know what I'm saying? I got to shout out my sponsors because they always help us out, you know, and they do a good deed in the community. So we always shout them guys out. And, man, we're going to be getting it in, man. You've never been to a party quite like an Urban Combat Wrestling show. It's wrestling made for adults. We want to make you laugh. We want to make you get mad. We want to make you feel elation. We want to run you through the ringer of all of the emotions so you go home and you feel like, you know, you feel like you done did something. We make you feel something, you know.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Is this your cell phone you're calling from?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna hit you up after the show. And whatever, we'll get some details. Because Asheville ain't that far from me. Hell, I mean, just on the other side of Knoxville.
No, man, it's like 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's two hours,
so,
man. I come to Knoxville all the time.
And that's on a Sunday. So, I mean, I'm off.
Yeah.
Or wait, hold on. Let's see. The 24th? Yeah. Yeah, because I start my new job.
Yeah,
so
it's a Sunday.
I start my new job on the 11th, and they're closed on Sunday. So, fuck yeah, man. I'm going to try to make it over there, man. I'm going to hit you up. For real.
Yeah, man, hit me up. Come and check it out, man. This is going to be a fucking fun show. It's going to be a great night, man. It's like 100%. Everybody who done ever came is like, when are y'all doing it again? You know, we took a long break for COVID trying to be respectful of people's
right.
health. And, you know, in doing that, we committed a cardinal sin in all promotion-based business. We let the big Mo die. Can't let the momentum die, so we building it back. We got some great help, and we got some great guys, and we got good stories that we're telling, and we want people to come to our events and have a good time, but don't bring your kids, man, because it's definitely going to be some cussing. You might see a kitty or something.
Okay, all right. All right, so we've got just a little over 10 minutes here, so let's go ahead and we'll knock out this other song out the way, you know, and make sure we give its due respect. And then we'll wrap it up,
man.
And we'll say our goodbyes. So this is
Money Phone.
Ooh, Money Phone. Yeah, this is off of Volume 2, Spaceman Jones and the Motherships, Volume 2.
Okay. So all right, here we go. So we'll be back in just a couple minutes here, and we're going to wrap things up for the night. Ladies and gentlemen, for this week's Artist of the Week, Spaceman Jones, this is called Money Phone. We'll be right back. Stick with us.
When you get it, how you live. Gotta feed kids, pay bills. So my time running thin. Some folk can have you out here on a limb. They barking up the wrong tree. I'm rooted too deep. I ain't fucking with them. I leave them jokers in the street. I put my cards on the table, bitch, read them and weep. I build other niggas' dreams while they rock me to sleep. New days, now I charge them to speak. My energy is precious. For my presence, I'ma need my feet. What you thought, you get this art out my heart, gratis. I'm trying to sell out tours, t-shirts and CDs. I put my life in it, so it's priceless to me. I capitalize, cause capital the only way to be free. Even God charge you niggas, ain't no charity beat. What you think is any different with me? I've been trying to eat the love from these fools and it's cool, but I ain't even got full yet. You can't buy a cookout tray with the applause from a good set. And niggas say bet, but they don't show up. Especially when they come to coughing dough up. Niggas get flaky like a biscuit, boy, hold up. Chunk some meat off in my gravy. If you want some word, little homie, you gon' have to pay me. Cause free is a four-letter word. Don't offend with that language, you will be left on the curb. Word to the herb that I pay for. My work righteous every time they want an encore. Catch a wave with us, you would understand more. This is top shelf excellence, of course it will demand more. Oh, I get it, you accustomed to the corner store.
You is my life, baby, I'm money dog.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Note by Note Radio Show. It is your host, The Guy in Glasses, and we've got Spaceman Jones on the line with us tonight, along with my boy Jesse Lives, broadcasting out from his home studio out in Cali. man, I tell you what, I mean, just keep doing what you're doing, man.
Talk about talking your shit. That's what I call talking your shit. Talking your shit. I appreciate that. And if you don't know what I'm saying, then you might not be a real MC.
For real.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to talk down on nobody. You just got to state what you about, you know? Thank you for that. Thank you for that. You know, we appreciate that, man. And hold up. Let's give Jesse Lives his flowers because he got bars, too.
Really?
Stiff young man right there. Real stiff young man right there.
You.
He going to let you know exactly where he stands. And see, that's something that I can take. Somebody who let me know where they stand. I can work with
you. Hell yeah.
Hey, hey. I'm still waiting for my bars over the bullshit
t-shirt.
I got to get one to you. But I got to see what it is or what. Shit, see, you're going to make me have to spill the beans. There's actually a new Bars Over Bullshit run coming, and I want to get you some of that new shit from the new line. I'm going to get some of you too, Space Man. So for all of my people that have been waiting for the Bars Over Bullshit stuff, that's what it was. I wanted it to be more than just the t-shirts was fly. But it's time to make this. I feel like it's a statement that really needs to be out there for MC to believe in that. So I took it to that next place.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. We ain't mad at you, buddy.
So that's what that is.
Yeah, man. It's all about keeping the brand growing.
So, yes, Spaceman, if you want to plug, you know, like how people can get in touch with you, you know, or you know,
yes,
your social medias and stuff like that, and plug all that stuff. We got about 4 minutes here.
All right, man. Spaceman Jones. You can catch me at Spaceman_Jones on IG. Also, I have a Facebook page. That's my personal Facebook page, which I don't mind people checking it out because it's maxed out anyway, and you can just follow it. It's Davion Bristol, or you can just type in Spaceman Jones. That shit gonna pop up anyway. Also, Urban Combat Wrestling everywhere. Y'all tap in. We got plenty of stuff on YouTube. Our IG is crazy. And we got a lot of content out there, man. We got matches. We got skits. We got highlight videos. We got everything that people, if they want to know what Urban Combat Wrestling is, they can check it out, man. We got all kind of very different content. I even get on there and play video games very badly. You can check that out. It's something funny that we're trying called Stick Talk. And, you know, I usually lose, but that's all right. That's all right. I'm getting better. And also Spaceman Jones and the Motherships, you know what I'm saying? And then we are everywhere with that. Plenty of videos on YouTube, and there are, you know, 7-8 projects out there for folks to dig into.
Hell yeah. Everybody, that's where it is, everybody. There ain't no rewind button on that. Type in Spaceman Jones and you find all of his stuff. You know, I'm sure it's all roundaboutly linked together and, you can get in, you know, touch base with all of his things he's got going on because, man, he's one to follow for sure. And I just want to say, you know, Spaceman Jones, like, thank you so much for being a part of the show. I know what it means to give up your time. You know, like you said earlier, you was giving a lot of time. You ain't getting no damn money. So I appreciate you donating us your time today. You know, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. You know, I know you don't have to. You know, I appreciate it. So
I appreciate y'all publicity and people coming and being interested in your stuff is priceless. You can't pay for it. You can pay for it, but I don't know how good you'll feel about it. I never paid to be on somebody's show. I don't think I ever will. So people reaching out and, you know, giving me a platform to talk about the stuff that we do, you know, because it might say Spaceman Jones on it, but it takes a lot of motherfuckers to get this shit to the people. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate folks tapping in so that we can share with the world all of the stuff that we've been over here cooking up for them. We appreciate y'all.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
And if you ever have anything you need to promote, man, you know how to get in touch with me. You got a home gig.
Word.
You see what I'm saying?
Word.
You like the people I bring on the show that I personally book are people I tell everybody I see them as a peer. That's why I brought them here. So
word,
that,
man.
That's
that
how
means
I
a
see
lot.
You as just a friend I don't get to talk to very often. That's really how I see you. So just
man,
that
we need
me
to change. Hey, yeah, we need to change that, man. My math is like, yeah, we got to change that, man. If it's a way that I send you my math, man, and call me anytime, bro. You know what I'm saying? Where you at in Cali?
Let's do that. Yeah.
Where you
LA
live
right
at
now.
In Cali? You in L.A.?
I live in Los Angeles right now. Yeah.
But I got a friend in L.A.
You know, I'm where I need to be. That's basically
yeah.
me.
I got one of my homeboys is out there, man. He got a cannabis delivery service. So he pulling up on cats with it. You know, one of my boys, Eric. Maybe I might be able to link y'all. Oh, you probably don't even. You an athlete.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that off air. You know what I'm saying? We'll talk about that off air.
We got 20 seconds here. guys. We're going to wrap it up. I just want to tell everybody, thank you for listening to the show. Thanks for being a part of us. Please go follow Spaceman. And at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, as always, please keep your hearts open and your radios up. Have a great weekend, everybody.
See you next week.
Peace.